Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have an email from Jay. Ben and Nathan, I'm writing to all of your listeners who haven't quite figured the LSAT out yet. Okay, it's ballsy. Ben and Nathan aren't LSAT wizards. They don't conjure LSAT magic or peddle special voodoo that will unlock the test. What they do isn't complicated or magical. They show the LSAT for what it is, common sense. Take it from me, someone reaping the benefits of Ben and Nathan's advice. The LSAT is easy. The LSAT makes sense. Follow these axioms and you will dominate the test. Okay, so someone who listens to the show quite a bit. One, you have to be wrong twice to fail once. If you vouch for an incorrect answer, you also ignore an objectively correct answer. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it takes two mistakes to miss a question.
Yep.
You have picked a wrong answer, which is a mistake, and you also have failed to pick the right answer, which is a separate mistake. And the way we can avoid missing questions is we refuse to make both of those mistakes on the same question. Like, it's not people think it's like close and they're like, oh, it's one of these. I don't know. It's probably that one, but it's like, it's not really like that. There's reasons why the right answer is right. And there's reasons why the wrong answer is wrong. And you need to refuse to pick wrong answers. You need to also insist on picking the right answer. Otherwise, you're making two mistakes to miss one question.
Yeah. Two, the path to the 170s is through perfect games. If you don't have a perfect game section, you don't just miss the low-hanging fruit. You missed the whole tree entirely.
Yeah. We've been talking about this a lot lately. I had a suggestion yesterday that I should write this week's column or this week's lesson on this idea that basically everybody needs perfect games. It's not just the path to the 170s. It's the path to your best LSAT.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get your best potential score if you don't score perfectly on the logic games. I know that sounds intimidating for novices because games is the scariest section for most new students. I mean, it was for me.
Yeah.
I think it was for Ben. It was for half of or three quarters of every class I ever teach.
Yeah.
I mean, people are like, oh God, games? What? You want me to be perfect on the logic games? And I'm like, well, tell you what. And then I do like another show of hands, right? Hey, people in the room, how many of you started off with games as your weakest section and now you score perfectly on the games? And like half of the class raises their hand like, yeah, me. Mm. I thought games was the hardest. Turns out games is the easiest.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not going to get into the 170s. I mean, it's really, really hard to get in the 170s if you're not getting perfect on the games. But, you know, even if that's not your goal, like let's say you're somebody who's in the 130s and you're trying to get into the 150s or 160s, your easiest place to improve is on the games.
Yeah.
And you really shouldn't settle for anything less than perfect. We've got, what do we have now? Close to 400 games to practice. And it's a grind, but if you master the 400 games that we have access to, you will be vastly better at whatever games you're going to see on your official test. And you, ideally, you should go into your official test expecting to score perfectly on the games. Not hoping, but expecting to score perfectly on the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number three, it must be true that all RC questions are must be true. Okay. If the passage didn't say it, it's not the correct answer. Technically, it's not all of them. There are an occasional strength and or weakened question in there, but the sentiment is good.
Yeah. Most of the questions on reading comp, I mean, yeah, 95% yep. of the questions on reading comp yep. really are just must be trues. And the one thing, you know, like a perfect example, of a question that doesn't sound like a must be true, but it actually is a must be true. There's a question type that says it can be inferred from the passage that the author would agree with which one of the following. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're inviting you to speculate or read between the lines or get inside the author's head or whatever.
Yeah.
But what they're really testing is just, did you understand what you read? And the right answer is the one that you can prove based on the passage.
Yeah.
And people can, you can improve dramatically on reading comp if you really, when you just take that on board that like, hey, they're testing whether I understood the passage. One of these answers I can prove from the passage and the other four are speculative. Yeah, I think you can go ahead and just presume that they're all a bunch of must be trues unless they explicitly ask you to strengthen or weaken.
Yep. Finally, Jay says, Ben and Nathan changed my LSAT mindset and I turned my cold 141 into an official 170. Be like me. Don't pay for law school. Okay, Jay. Jay is feeling good about his progress or her progress. I just have the letter J. That's all. Thanks for writing in, Jay. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.